We all know that one of the most basic fundamentals of Yerideya is that only through heat connecting two foods can a transfer of taste occur. So if you want to have nesinas tam from one food to a second food, it only can occur if there is heat connecting the two. So if, let's say, you have a tray for food that gets cooked with a kosher food, so since there's heat connecting the two, and it's through bishul, there's liquid, which is also a means of transferring taste, over there we assume that unless you have shishim against the iser, if, let's say, you have one piece of meat that's treif and one piece of meat that's kosher, and there's no shishim against the iser, the bliya of the treif of food gets transferred to the entire piece of meat that was kosher. It's something that's boileya bekuloi, and therefore you have to assume that the entire taruvus is us. That is with respect to bishul. Bishul has a very potent transfer of taste because there's liquid involved, which makes the transfer easier. And therefore, if, let's say, you have a bishul that takes place between a kosher food and a treifa food, and you don't have shishim against the treifa food to nullify the tam, memela, the entire taruvus becomes osir, and the bliya spreads, bekuloi, it spreads throughout the entire piece of meat that's kosher. However, there's another way to transfer taste through heat, and that is through tzli. That is through roasting, which means that you connect the two through heat, through fire, but you don't have roitiv, you don't have this taking place through the medium of liquid. Over there, we assume that even though it can't be boileya bekuloi, because you don't have liquid, it's not bishul, nonetheless, there is a transfer of taste that occurs, but it only either goes kedei klipa or it goes kedei netila. So machlekes rishonim. But it either goes the amount that you just have to remove a kedei klipa of the kosher food, which means you remove some thin layer from the kosher food, and then that is adequate. Or you have to remove a kedei netila, which we are machmer, and we assume that you have to remove at least an inch, about an inch, the erech an inch. But that is the halach with respect to sleep. Now, there is a chumra that the Ramot tells us in a couple of places, one of them being in Siman Tzadik Aleph in Yerideya, and that is that we know that there's an exception to the rule when it comes to tzli, and that is that if the piece of meat that's causing the transfer of taste is shamein, it's very fatty, it's thick and it's fatty, it has an easier transfer of taste that occurs, it transfers in a much easier way, and over there we assume that the bliya goes bekuloi. It gets through the entire piece of meat that was kosher, and it asers the entire piece of meat, and not merely a kedei klipa or kedei netila. That is the halacha with respect to a tzli that takes place bedover shamin. If it's shamin, if it's fatty, we assume that even though you have two hot foods touching without the medium of liquid, nevertheless, even though there is no liquid that the two foods are cooking in, still the bliya goes bekuloi if, in fact, we're talking about a dover shamin. Zog d'ramo, a tremendous chumra. Zog d'ramo, today we are not bekiyin. We are not a baki in ascertaining and determining whether or not a particular piece of meat is considered shamin or not. And therefore, we always have to be choshish that the meat or the food that is transferring taste is, in fact, shame. And we always have to aser bikuloi even when we are talking about sleep. That is the chumra that the Ramah brings down, that even though me'ikra din, when it comes to tzli, it only asers either kedei klipa or kedei netila, nevertheless, since we are not baki as to exactly when we are magdir this as a dover shamein and when we consider it a dover kochush, that's not fatty, memela, we always have to assume that perhaps it's shamein and we aser bekuloi. Now that is the basics of Yerideya. Now, the Gemara tells us a rule. Says the Gemara, kovush kimevushul umliach kireseach, which means, if something is kovush, it has the status in halacha as if it was mevushal, which means that if, let's say, you take a piece of food, a solid piece of food, and you let it sit in liquid for 24 hours straight, that is the rule of kovush. If it sits in liquid for 24 hours straight, it's able to transfer taste in spite of the fact that there's no heat involved. So even if it's completely cold, but if it sits in liquid for 24 hours straight, it's as if it was mevushel in the liquid, and even though there was no heat, it transfers taste bekuloi. That's the rule of kovush kemevushel. And now the second rule is meliach kireseach. If it's salted, if let's say you salt two foods together, a treif of food and a kosher food, salting together has the halachic status of tzli, harehu kireseach, that's as if they touched each other when they were hot. And even though, in fact, in Metzias, they weren't hot, it was cold, the salt has the power of transferring taste like kireseach, and therefore, again, you would consider it like tzli, even though everything was cold, if it was meliach. That's the halacha. Now, Zokt v'ramo, since, as we mentioned before, there is a chumrah pertaining to a case of tzli, where we say that even though when it comes to two foods that touch each other hot, me'ikra din, tzli could only be mavliya, either k'dei klipa or k'dei netilo, and most rishonim are machmer k'dei netilo, an inch you have to remove of the kosher food. Nevertheless, by a dover shomein, we say it's mefafeya v'kuloi. It spreads throughout the entire piece of kosher food. And the chumra saramo was that we're always chishish that the particular piece of food that we are discussing is a dover shomein. And we always aser v'kuloi, even though it's tzli and it's not bishul. Memelo, zok d'ramo, since the rule is meliach kireisech, that we compare the halacha of melicha, of having the food salted together, to the halacha of tzli. Memela, just like by tzli, we assume that we're always choshish that it's shamin and we aser bekuloi, so too when it comes to melicha, we're always choshish that the two foods, or the food that is aser is shamin, and therefore we aser bekuloi, even though me'ikra din, if it's not shamin, it doesn't aser bekuloi. So that's the first chumrah that we apply to the case of melicha, that since we say melicha kireseach, and reseach means tzli, and by tzli we have a chumrah that we always concern ourselves with the fact that it might be a dover shamin, we aser bekuloi, so too when it comes to melicha, we always are chishish that it's a dover shamin, and we aser bekuloi. That's chumrah number one with respect to melicha. Chumrah number two. How much salt does the meat have to have on it to render it as part of the general category of meliach kireseach? In order for it to be part of the din of meliach kireseach, it has to be covered in salt. The question is, how much salt do you have to cover it with for it to be considered meliach kireseach? This, again, is a tremendous machlokes rishonim. Some rishonim hold, and this is the mashmoyis of Rashi in Maseches Chulin, Daf Kuf Yud Beis, Daf Kuf Yud Gimel. Rashi shita is that you have to salt it so much that this is the amount of salt that they used to use to preserve food for a while. They didn't have refrigerators, so they had to take a piece of meat and put salt in it to the extent that you would preserve it for a while. Only when you have that amount of salt do we have the status of meliach kireseach, where the blia gets transferred in spite of the fact that physically everything is cold. That's the shita of Rashi, that in order for it to be rendered meliach kireseach, it has to be mamish, tons of salt on it, the amount that you would use to preserve it for a long trip, to preserve it for a journey, to preserve it only then, if you will put this amount of salt to preserve it, that is considered meliach kireseach. A second shita of the Rishonim, the shita of Rabbi Yotam, the shita of Tosfos, is that you don't have to have that amount of salt, but you have to have the amount of salt that is used during the kashering process. We know that meat has to be kashered before going to the market because we need to extract the dam that is contained within the meat. And you have melicha to pull out the dam and purge it from its dam, the mela. That amount of melicha that is used during the melicha process is the amount of melach that renders it meliach kireseach, that has an ability to transfer blias even though the meat is physically cold. So it's a machlekes rishonim, machlekes apoiskim. How much salt does there have to be in order for us to consider this a case of meliach kireseach, where a blia gets transferred through melicha? Again, comes along the Rama, Simon Tzadik Aleph, and tells us a tremendous chumrah. Since there's a machlokes rishonim regarding the amount of melach that is needed, and it's unclear as to exactly how much salt is needed to render it meliach kireseach. Says the Rama, we're machmir, we have a chumrah, and we say, as long as there's enough salt on this piece of meat, that it fits into the loshen of the Gemara where it says that it has to be einu necho machmas molchay, that it has to be enough salt that you wouldn't eat it because it's too salty, we are already choshish that it's part of the category of meliach kireseach, and it has the status of meliach where it transfers blius. So the Gemara's loshen is it has to be einu necho machmas molchay. That's the Gemara in Chulin, where it says there has to be einu necho machmas molchay. And the question is, what is the gedder hadvarim? So we have the shita of Tosfos, Rashi, many shitas in the Rishonim as to exactly the gedder of melicha, that it's einu necho machmas molchay. Says the Rama, the chumra is, as long as there's enough salt that you wouldn't eat it because it's too salty, we're already chishish that it's part of the category of meliach kireseach, and the transfer of blia occurs. Now there's a machlekes achroinim whether we are mitzarif the two chumras that we have mentioned b'shem the Rama. Chumra number one was that just like by reiseach, by tzli, we say that we're always choshish that the item is shamein, that it's fatty, and therefore it transfers a blia bekuloi and not just kedei klipa or kedei netila. So too, we'll extrapolate and we'll pull that halacha to melicha and we'll say that it transfers blias bekuloi because of the chashash that it might be a davar shamein. So that's chumra number one. Chumra number two is that any time it's not necho machmas mochoi, it's too salty to eat it in the present state of salt on it, that is sufficient to render this meliach kireseach, and we assume that a blia can transfer with the amount of salt that's on the meat. These two chumras together, do we say, or do we say that no? Both chumras together, we don't say. So this is a machlekes achroinim. Some achroinim say that you don't have both chumras combined in one case, and other achroinim say that you could, in fact, combine both of these chumras in one particular case. Now, there's one more important machlekes hapoiskim regarding the transfer of blia that takes place with melicha. And the question is, how long does the meat have to be sitting in the salt for a transfer of blia to occur through the melicha? How long does it have to be sitting in the salt? Again, this is the subject of a tremendous machlekes rishonim, machlekes between the ra'ah and machlekes between the ra'ivon and other rishonim. And the question is, does it have to be there for the shear of melicha? Some rishonim say that it has to be there for the amount of time that is required during the melicha process to purge the piece of meat from its dam. And since, when it comes to purging the meat from its dam, you need to have it in the salt for a certain period of time, let's say me'ikra din, you need it to be there at least 18 minutes. So too, in order for a melicha to transfer blius, it has to be there for that amount of time, let's say at least 18 minutes. However, other poskim say that no. Other poskim say that even if it's in the salt for a small period of time, that is already enough of a concern that a transfer of blia occurred, and therefore we have to be choshish even when the meat has been sitting in salt for a small, short period of time. Again, this is a machlekes achroinim, a machlekes rishonim, and the Rama says that even though many poskim say that it's only considered eligible for Nesinas Tam when it's there, Kishir Melicha, which let's say is at least 18 minutes, nevertheless, says the Rama, we have to be chush that a transfer of blias occurs immediately because we'll compare it to tzli. And just like by tzli, a transfer of blias takes place immediately, so too when it comes to melicha. And then the Rama brings down an interesting shita. Says the Rama, there is an opinion in the Rishonim that holds that fakert, if you leave it in the melach for the period of 18 minutes or the sheer melicha that we have when it comes to extracting the dam from within the piece of meat, says the Rama, some Rishonim hold, some place can hold, that in that case, it can no longer transfer blius. If you have it there, kashir melicha, it no longer has the ability to transfer blius. It's sitting in salt too long, it can't transfer blius. And the Rama says that b'mokum hefsin meruba, you could be samech on that shita. And that if it's there for 18 minutes or whatever the shir melicha is, you could assume that a transfer of Blias can't occur. And we're only Machmir, and assume that a transfer of Blias takes place immediately when the meat enters the salt. But Akoponim, again, this is a third Chumrah that we have in the Ramah, and that is that we assume that even though it's a machlekes, a transfer of Blias, says the Ramah, we have to concern ourselves with the possibility that it happens immediately after the meat enters the salt.